It's like what it is actually probably happening is that your whole auric field, you know what an aura is, expands. And I'd like to say, in a way, explodes. It like it blows wide open. And you become more of who you already are. Big changes can really happen in the class. And one of the things that is in his meditation is to recognize why you came here. What is your true purpose? And people wake up to that. And so that shifts a lot of their lives when that happens. And the other thing is they're dropping a lot of baggage and pain, or the people get stuck. They get stuck in their woundedness and in their victimhood. And in these classes, you have the opportunity to let it go.
Well, welcome back to Hale Wellness on the Wellness Connection. And we have a visitor here today with us. We have here Sherry Teagle.
Yes, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you for visiting here with us at the Wellness Connection.
It's good to be here.
Thank you. You're going to share with us a little bit about who you are, how you became who you are today, and take us on a journey, how you discover wellness in your life, and how you share it with the community.
Well, I've called my business Body Beloved, and the reason that I did that is I've always been a big woman. I wasn't that big when I was in a teenager, but that was when Twiggy was in, and I was not that tiny. I was voluptuous then, but I have been made wrong about my size all my life. And I went on retreat in New Zealand with Patrick Ziegler, who is the man who brought all love and Sekhem into the world, because he snuck into the Great Pyramid and spent the night and was initiated with this energy. And I went there and had the all love retreat with the Tantra retreat. And during that time, I was surrounded in New Zealand by all these beautiful women goddesses that were perfect Hollywood bodies, including his wife. And in some ways, I was made wrong again for being large. And the healing process that happened for me through going through that, and one of the ways Patrick's works, Patrick, is it's like he's got a pointy stick and he goes for exactly where you would be sore. So he pushed at this, I'm not good enough, I'm wrong because of my weight. And anyway, I came back and suddenly went, I'm beautiful the way I am. It doesn't mean that health-wise, I don't need to lighten the load. And I did lighten the load when I was in New Zealand with him. I lost about 20 pounds. And I've gone up and down a little bit with that since. I still have the, oh, yeah, I'd like to lose that 100 pounds or so because I'm a big girl. But I really embraced myself just the way I am and how sexy I can be just this way. And that, just shifting that, changed my life. I suddenly had all these beautiful young lovers. And in New Zealand, I also took my first Tantra retreat with Patrick's wife. And unbelievable experience of finally, where it was legal, having sexual healing. And so it's like massage with the sexual touch and release. And it was very, very healing and very safe and beautiful. And it changed my life. It opened, it blew the doors wide open. And so I came back here going, oh, I'll never find it here. Well, that was not true. There are lots of people teaching Tantra. Back in the 70s, and I'm trying to remember what year he passed away, a man named Bhagwan Ragnish, who then became Osho, basically brought neo-tantra to this country. And when you go online and you see, oh, tantra means sex, it doesn't. But the neo-tantra really, really seems to be more absorbed in that. Mm-hmm. I may be lying, but that's my impression of it. And one of the things Osho said was to stop making sex wrong. That priests and politicians will make sex wrong because it is your first pleasure, and they steal it from you and make you miserable, stealing that pleasure. And miserable people are controllable. Happy people aren't.
That's very interesting. When you shared that thought, you took me back. I went to a Catholic school, and I could resonate your thoughts with that. And as I was growing up in the Catholics, you know, teaching, and you had the good girl line, and you had the bad girl line, you know. So when you say that, excuse me, that makes me go back to that experience of that culture, okay, and how it really impacts a person,
right,
and how they should move, how they should walk, how they should talk, what's the good thing to do and what's not the good thing to do.
Right, so. And only one position, and only when you want to get pregnant. Now, the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s kind of flipped that out. But having been born in 1951, I watch myself still make sex wrong. One of the things I heard about Tantra is there is no right and wrong. There's just whatever is. And I like Dalai Lama's interpretation. There is no right and or wrong until there is. So I would sort of like that one a little better, because there's some things that I would like, oh, yeah, that's wrong. Generally speaking, overall, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that the breaking into the sexual revolution in the 60s and being a hippie and all that kind of stuff, and then I still, though, have that 1950s, it's wrong inside me. Mm-hmm. And I have to work with that. I have to take myself out of judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, we really, if we look at how we're trained and how we're raised, we're trained from early on what's right and what's wrong and how to behave. And it does help us get along in a social environment. And, you know, there's more than one of us in the world, so we have to figure out how to not kill each other or hurt each other all the time. But
that could be a pressure. And I think a lot of times why we isolate ourselves is because we're not sure how to quite fit in. We mask it a little bit, and then you feel exhausted from doing that, and then you withdraw again.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things that I've loved about studying Tantra and doing the healing work that I've done, because, of course, I've started out in, oh, what year was it? I guess I became a Reiki master in 2001. And that was sort of the beginning of my healing journey. And after that, I found Patrick and All Love, the All Love work, and several things after that. But it's been quite a journey, and I'm so grateful for what I've been through. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for learning to not judge so much, or catching myself when I do. Mm-hmm. When we're little children, we don't judge and we just express. We experience and express. And it's when we're trained into all of these do's and don'ts that we begin to judge everything. And a lot of that judgment, some of it's, you know, good, you know, to judge that it's better to drink water than gasoline. Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's some things that keep us alive.
Yes.
But there are also a lot of things that just diminish our lives and put more and more walls and separateness between us. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the journey of becoming one. You know, I like the idea of waking up and realizing that it's all one. Yes. And I don't think you do a lot of judging then. Mm-hmm. And if you look at little kids, they're kind of closer to that because they're just in the joy of expression and in the experience. And it isn't all joy. They're sometimes having tantrums, but it just comes out of them naturally. Mm-hmm. And we've lost all that. Mm-hmm. That's why I like the All Love class. We get to kind of be children in those classes.
Very
and have
nice.
That, wah! Or
just as a point of clarity from a timeline standpoint, you said that you became a Reiki master in 2001?
Yes.
Where did that correspond with your trip to New Zealand? Was that before?
I went to New Zealand in January of 2008.
Okay.
Thanks for asking that.
I just wanted to get clear because we talked about the 60s and 70s, and then we talked about, so I just wanted to get an idea of where this kind of falls in your experience.
And remind me of your name, because the minute you tell me, it goes right out of my head.
Yeah, I'm Jared.
Jared.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jared.
All right.
What you're saying is very poignant, and being born in my time, not a decade after you, however, still in a time that things were still taboo, and
they still are.
Yes. Yes. But what I was going to add is that the millennials are changing that, I feel. And when I speak with them, the barriers that I grew up with, they don't necessarily have. But
right.
where do you feel that in our culture today, with the impact that they're making and how they look at our world today, how would they fit into our experiences? Because it's a little different. And how would their journey towards Tantra through finding love and connection impact their lives?
That's a good question. You know, I can't even imagine what it's like for them, because I grew up with such constriction, you know. I grew up when there were separate bathrooms for white folks and black folks, and separate water fountains. And the black community in my little town of Winchester, Virginia, was almost invisible, almost completely invisible. And now there is such, the television would keep, folks were of color were invisible on TV. Now there's such a difference. They have such a different culture. Mm-hmm. They have access to the world through the internet. And yet at the same time, Tantra, let me talk a little bit about what Tantra is. The word apparently means weave, and I have my own interpretation of all this, and I haven't studied in depth with some tantric master. I have been to some classes. I've done a lot of reading, mostly Osho. He's quite something. But Tantra, the Dalai Lama is the head of one tradition of Tantra in the world, and you don't think sex with the Dalai Lama. The lion's share of Tantra is what's called white Tantra, which is the meditation practices. You basically, the whole intent of Tantra is to wake up. And whether you're a millennial or our age or any age, we're very good at being asleep and not really knowing our true self, our real essence. And one of my favorite singers was Leonard Cohen. And he...
Jared's shaking his head intensely on that thought.
I was just listening to his album, 10 New Songs. And he wrote that when he went to a monastery for a year or so. And he had been horribly depressed all his life, even though his life was big and beautiful. And he had almost anything he needed, but he was depressed. And he went to the monastery for a year in meditation and came out no longer depressed. This is what these awakenings, these practices can give you. And he died with a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. But one of the things in the last interview of his I heard him say was, I have practices to deal with that. So even though he was in pain, he knew ways to subside or just watch that pain. Fascinating.
Interesting, yes.
And so that is one of the things that you get out of Tantra if you're really doing the real path, which has an enormous amount to do with getting real and meditating. And if you sit on a meditation cushion, your mind is going to go crazy. Talk to you constantly. It takes a long time to settle it down. It takes a long time to really come to that empty space that's mm-hmm. so sweet. Mm-hmm. And that empty space is like, it's like food for me. It's like recharges me mm-hmm. and fills me up so that I can meet the crazy world that, as it is. And
yes, Sherry. I mean, I am resonating with that expression of yours so well, because one of my major practices is me time meditation in the mornings mm. in order to, I work with a lot of psych patients who they have multiple surprises for you quite often. And one of my, as a therapist, my objective is always to get them to focus and hone into a purpose that they personally have, because I choose goals that they derive mm-hmm. that they feel like they want to achieve. And however, still with even them expressing what they want, getting them to focus, getting them to hone into and, you know, make a success for that moment, it can be challenging. And so here's a therapist.
It's challenging for me.
Right. Trying to redirect all that energy that they have. And it's amazing energy. We call it a colorful day, you know?
Yeah, right? Really. Oh, my goodness.
And so, yes, but it's lovely once we get them to that point. But as you say, you know, this meditation and tantra mm-hmm. and how it can bring that right. into, you know, a point where you can now relax and then focus your energy more effectively.
Right. Patrick Ziegler is a world teacher. He is, as we're making this podcast, he's in India with another 40-day silent meditation where they meditate for 21 hours a day. I cannot even imagine.
Neither can I.
I just, no thanks, but I understand. And believe me, he did it last year, mm-hmm. and I saw him this past summer. He comes to Virginia, Burke, Virginia, to do a 10-day class, and you can go for an evening or anything between that and 10 days that while he's there. And unbelievable how different his energy was. He was always wonderful, mm-hmm. but he really, really had reached an amazing place. And he teaches all love. He's the one that snuck into the Great Pyramid of Giza and spent the night and came out with this energy that pervades the classes that he teaches. And any of his teachers, I'm one of his teachers. It's something that just, it's like Reiki, but mm-hmm. on steroids, kind of.
It's kind of a mixed metaphor there. Were you going to mix steroids and Reiki?
No. Yes, yes. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but
no, it's fine. I think it's an interesting. I think it's an interesting juxtaposition there.
Reiki has a tendency to be a very soothing, quieting energy that.
Unlike steroids.
Right, unlike steroids, exactly. Sometimes it will, before I met Patrick, I certainly could get on the table and start crying because it would bring up emotional energy, but it often first addresses the physical and does physical energy healing is mm-hmm. what they've often talked about mm-hmm. In Reiki.
Mm-hmm. And so when you speak about physical energy, can you express a little bit more about that?
Well, in other words, I have had a client come in with terrible back pain, and you lay hands on or above the body, whatever they're comfortable with, and I laid my hands on her. She was a friend. And at the end of the hour, the pain was gone.
No. Mm-hmm.
So physical body pain or problems.
Muscle spasms.
Yeah.
Tension.
Right. Cool. High blood pressure might get, you know, actually, if you meditate, it helps to lower your blood pressure.
Yes. They did do a recent research indicating if you do it for about 3 to 5 minutes every 2 or 3 hours within the day, it will lower your blood pressure. So you're correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, Patrick is quite an amazing teacher. And if you ever get the chance to go to one of his classes, I highly recommend it. It is in some ways jumping into the deep end of the pool because they call it a meditation. Mm-hmm. And it starts with a simple meditation and some music. And suddenly people are laughing or crying or screaming in rage or just the emotion just comes out of people. The all love energy, or the Sekhem is what he used to call it and still does, Sekhem, that energy seems to work with the emotional body first. So all your emotions get, and the way I would describe it, and I think he does too, I have to check with that man. It's like anywhere you're blocking love, the energy comes in and knocks on that door in your heart and says, would you like to deal with this? And so in the classes, you have the opportunity to go into the places you haven't healed or the places you've run from. Mm-hmm. And we run from our emotions. And that has been what has been so amazing working with him. And also Tantra is about that. It's like they think it's all about sex and it's about meditation and getting vulnerable and getting real.
Yes.
Really going into the heart, really going into the places that you are afraid of, and learning to not be afraid of your emotions anymore. And that's powerful.
That is very powerful. Because I think, like you said earlier, a lot of times we don't even know what's vent up inside of us, that we are holding, what we're holding on to, mm-hmm. until it's exposed, poked at. Is that
poked
what you
at.
Said?
Yes, right? That's what Patrick's good at.
Poking at all that stuff. And in your practice, where have you seen in the spectrum of relationships, do you find that marriage, people who are in marriages that aren't being fulfilled, that they find with involving themselves in the classes, that they now come out and have more successful engagement with their relationships? Or
I've certainly seen people turn things around. Mm-hmm. Here's what can often happen with the marriages that don't work. They either... If you really start the healing journey, you, whether it's Tantra or all love or whatever, if you work on the healing journey and get honest, it becomes honestly obvious whether you belong together or whether you don't. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I don't make wrong that decision to leave. And I certainly don't make that wrong that decision to stay. But it's the Tantra work can add a spice, certainly spice up the sexual connection. Because what is delicious about it, and I'll never forget one client's face when I said, I'm going to teach you to blend your sexuality with your spirituality or your religiousness. And they looked at me like I was insane, frightened, and wanted to run out of the room. You know those cartoons with the hole in the wall? where I almost thought that was going to happen. But you make love to God. You recognize that your partner is, see, all one. So I don't see a separation, as strong of a separation as some cultures do and some religions do, of I'm separate from God. Mm-hmm. It's all one to me, and I am part of God. I'm certainly an ignorant part of God because I don't know everything.
Right.
Although, which philosopher said that's the true knowledge, to know you know nothing?
Yes, that is the true knowledge.
So maybe I'm pretty smart after all. I don't know.
Do you call the name of that?
Was that Socrates or... Aristotle?
I can't remember, but I do remember.
I don't remember.
Okay, we're all...
Yeah. Oh, well.
Maybe our
audience
listeners, yes, can discover that one for us.
But the blending in the Tantra, mm-hmm. What's called red Tantra, there's white Tantra, which is meditation, and red Tantra, which is the sexual practices.
Okay.
They use the sexual practices to get you into a state that is very close to awakening. That's why they're using them. Mm-hmm. The peak of orgasm, which in regular sex just hits the peak and falls right off.
Correct.
When you're in that peak, you are in the moment. Mm-hmm. You're at a very accelerated high place mm-hmm. in the moment. You're not thinking about lunch.
Okay. So, Sherry, when you say about the moment, so Jared's just sharing with us on paper, it's Socrates. Yes. So when we talk about the moment, please tell us what that means, because it sounds delightful, but what does that mean?
Well, all we ever really have is the present moment. Mm-hmm. But in our heads, we are thinking about what happened before, or, oh my God, what might happen next, good news, bad news. Mm-hmm. So we're always in our heads about the future or the past. Mm-hmm. But our body lives in the present moment. That's why I was talking about how meditation, to concentrate on the breath, mm-hmm. to me that's mental, and Patrick would make it feeling. More feel the breath. Mm-hmm. Be in the feeling body, because the body, the feeling body, the mm-hmm. touch sensation mm-hmm. is immediate and present in the moment. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if everybody, don't do it while you're trying to drive. If you're listening to this, don't do it while you're trying to drive.
Don't be like Tom Joyner that says, get out and, you know, say, let's shake it, okay?
But if you take three deep, slow breaths. Don't hyperventilate, but just something like, I don't know whether you can hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. So, and you're filling the chest and the belly with the breath, mm-hmm. and you are beginning to feel it going in through the nose and mouth, either one or both, down your throat, filling the chest and belly, and those nice full breaths,
yes.
which are so healthy for you, and mm-hmm. we don't ever do. Mm-hmm. And then feeling it coming back out, noticing the feel of the temperature of the breath as it comes in and goes out, just really feeling the breath. And you do that three times, and that's all you're doing. It's like, as Pema Chodron said, instant meditation.
Meditation.
And to be in the moment is very, very precious. And you're in the moment in the heat at the top of orgasm. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes the only time that anybody ever really stops for a minute. Mm-hmm. And with Tantra, they take that peak, you know, instead of it hitting a peak and dropping immediately off, they take that peak and keep it going for minutes, hours, whatever. So you basically, the practices can take you into bliss, and it is.
I was watching last night on YouTube an educational section about the central nervous system and the peripheral nervous system, and there are different philosophies out there, theories, in regards to how our body, mind, and spirit works.
Interesting.
Okay. Mm-hmm, and yeah. As you explained just now, how in this practice, how the mind body works. And you were right. One of the theories indicated that our bodies are here at the present. It's our emotions and our mind and our spirit that's not. And so, how you experience ecstasy, or how do you interpret an experience as being a positive one or negative one depends on the philosophy and theory of thought. So when you share that, that was a full engagement of what I call dimensional awareness.
Oh,
and
neat.
That, you know, how the body, mind, and spirit engaged.
Yes, nice. And that is the point with mm-hmm. the tantric practices, is to engage them all. Mm-hmm. And the point is to come to a point where you are one.
Very good.
You've dropped out of seeing everything as separate, mm-hmm. and you begin to know everything is one, that you're just a drop. And that's what they talk about with the drop of the ego, that the ego disappears and you become one. I have moments. I don't live there. I have delicious moments, mm-hmm. but bringing Tantra into my life and my All Love retreat in 2008 was unbelievably wonderful.
Wonderful.
And it's made my life a joy.
Mm-hmm. So very good. Sherry, you shared a lot with us today, a lot of your wellness journey and how it impacted your life and what it sounds like your lifestyle and the quality of life you're living today. Yes. I see you smile constantly. And that's one way of expressing happiness and contentment and feeling secure within your own self.
Right.
And for our community, what one thing you would say to leave with them to encourage them to explore their opportunities and how it could affect and impact their quality of life?
It takes bravery to become vulnerable and to open your heart, but it is the most rewarding thing you can ever do, is to become really honest about who you really are and drop some of those pretenses. I know it's scary, but unbelievably rewarding. So my journey has mostly been about opening the heart and really finding a love without need. Mm-hmm. I was very good all my life being very needy of having a relationship and having the man in my life. And I have found a way to be completely fulfilled without needing that other. And love, romantic love is the bomb. I mean, it's wonderful. It's like, woohoo, what a ride. It's delightful. But if we can learn to really love ourselves, love our own hearts, as Matt Kahn would say, another wonderful teacher, you can find lots of YouTubes about him. The more you love yourself, truly love yourself, and really put the energy into I love me, saying things like, I love you, Sherry, and meaning it, saying it to your own heart, to this body, mind, that changes. Every time I get a little tense, all I start doing is saying, I love you, Sherry, I love you, Sherry, I love you, Sherry. And I feel better. I feel okay.
Yes, I can relate to that.
So opening your heart and letting that vulnerability to do that happen, that's, yeah.
I have a question, sort of a kind of more of a nuts and bolts type question. When you work with people, what are some of the ways that you tend to work with the customers that you work with? Like, describe the ways that you deliver your teaching and your service.
Well, I work with folks and do healing work with them, energy healing. So they come in, we talk.
Is this like a one-on-one thing, or
the one-on-one? I do both. I do classes. I've got a few coming up, and I do one-on-one work. I love doing both of them very much. And the healing work, I basically sit and talk and find out exactly what it is they really want to get out of our time together, and then I kind of use my intuition. I'd like to say I've got a A, B, C, D.
Right.
Sorry, I pounded the table.
No, it's okay.
but it really, I do Reiki, all love, something called Psyche, which can shift, it sort of reprograms the brain. It's like tapping, but a bit different.
That's interesting.
It's called Psyche. And then there's Matrix Energetics that Richard Bartlett brought out, and that is a lot of fun. And so all of those are the healing work that I can do with folks. And sometimes it's them lying on a massage table and just receiving some energy. I can be doing something called toning, which is making sounds. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating, the healing work that comes through me. It's not mine necessarily, it just comes through.
So when someone has a session with you, at you kind of intuit in the moment which
right.
approach is most suited for what they're coming with?
Right. And some people say, I just want Reiki, and I try very hard to just give them Reiki, although all love has a tendency to sneak in there.
Right.
the all love energy.
Like, whoa, 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 what you doing?
What is that?
I have had people say that to me, actually. Right. And I go, okay, I'll try very hard to just go back to Reiki.
Okay.
And I also do coaching. So I do tantric coaching where we talk about how they can reach deeper.
Is that a one-on-one thing or is that a group thing?
But, well, I don't call the group things coaching. I do classes. I've got one coming up March 2nd, as a matter of fact. So
hey, now.
That's my class. But one-on-one, I can focus directly on the issues that they have going on and share some techniques and ways to really connect at a deeper level if it's whether they're alone or not. And one of the things that it would be good if we dropped the taboo on was self-pleasure or what they call masturbation.
What they call masturbation?
What they call masturbation, yes. What we call masturbation.
I was getting ready to say.
I don't use that word hardly ever, but like, I know. It's like, it has negative resonance for me, the word masturbation does. But yeah, self-pleasure.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, so I like to call
it self-pleasure.
That
sounds like a you thing. That sounds like an issue that you have with the word.
It is. Okay. It is. It is. I need to get over it.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah. You got it.
Word, Jared?
It's masturbation.
Okay.
There are other colloquialisms that I'm not going to put up here because I want to be able to keep this podcast rating as clean.
There you go. Amen. Before Tantra, I found masturbation boring. You know, I always wanted a partner.
Right.
I wanted to have the fun and play of a partner. I mean, it was something to do and something to, like, get the energy out of my body, but I didn't look forward to it.
Right.
And after learning Tantra, I nearly passed out from self-pleasure. Mm. So I find it quite amusing now and delightful. And it's, you know, the sexual part of us, this wonderful sexual animal, isn't wrong to enjoy that. It's just part of the bliss of being alive.
I don't know about from, but I know about like after. That's a common thing.
The bliss after?
No, the passing out after.
Oh. That's interesting you say that. In Tantra, you learn to shift that energy, and it becomes, instead of exhausting, it becomes invigorating.
Right.
So that you can continue to go on and on.
Anybody got time for all that?
That's spoken like a true man.
Anybody got time for all that?
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
For March 2nd.
Believe me, what you can learn also through the tantric practices, and of course, this is why people are so excited and interested, is the bigger orgasm. You can learn to have a full body shaking orgasm instead of what I call, and many call, the pelvic sneeze. And it's over.
That's a term I had never heard of.
The pelvic sneeze. So, I mean, I like to sneeze. It's you know, you get, oh, that felt good, and I'm glad I don't have to sneeze anymore. But there's nothing wrong with the pelvic sneeze, but it's amazing to experience that, and that's what kind of gets you into a transcendent place while you begin to blend with all that is and more than a exhausted, but you're like opening up to the whole universe. And you see your partner as God or goddess. That's why you hear of goddesses and so forth. Mm. The Hindu tradition, you had the Buddhist tradition I don't know a lot about, which is mostly focused on meditation, but they also do have the sexual.
So let me say this. Even though you're talking to me, look at her so that you stay on mic better.
Oh, but, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I won't find it rude.
All right. So there are three practices that I know of. There's the Buddhist, and then there's Hindu. And Hindu, the Shiva is the main god, and Shakti is the goddess. And so the man becomes Shiva and the woman becomes Shakti, or the person, because this doesn't work with just heterosexual sex, the person that wants to take more of a masculine or superior role or a penetrating role is Shiva, and the receiver, the more feminine role, is Shakti. And you look at your partner and worship them as a god or a goddess. You become humble before them. There's some practices in the Red Tantra that the man has to lose all desire for the woman before he can touch her, so that it is a complete act of devotion and love.
That's interesting.
I don't want to make a crass comment.
You can be as crass as you want with me. I have no problem with that.
Oh, man. So, okay. So, just going back to the last point that you made.
I'm putting on his Gerard.
All right. So, you said that the man needs to lose all desire before he can even touch her.
As a very traditional Hindu practice, that's my understanding.
Okay. All right. Continue. Let's go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out how he would become aroused if he had no desire.
Oh no.
Ah.
No, not at all. I just wanted to let that sit for a minute. Sit out there.
So it is the whole idea of worship. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's interesting. The third kind of tradition is Neo Tantra, and that's Osho. And it's almost like everything goes with Neo Tantra. Even BDSM, bondage, domination, sadomasochism.
I saw that jump back like.
Yeah, right. Even BDSM, they have found ways to bring it into Tantra. And that to me isn't worshipful, but. Again, no right or wrong. So mm-hmm. it's this.
You are present.
You are present. You are present. And actually,
you
it's
are
interesting
present.
That some of the work with pain does really bring you into a very elevated space. So I kind of understand a little of it. Mm. Because the work in the All Love classes, one of the reasons you have such a big experience is you're willing to feel that level of an emotional pain. And so it opens you, blows you wide open. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of get where some of the BDSM stuff is.
And when you're talking about it, in spirituality, when you're going through growth, and you're going through a painful experience in life so that you can evolve as a person. And
right.
So, I mean, when you talk about that and you talk about the spirituality of mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. that makes some connection.
Well, that's where, you know, and that's what Tantra, I wish I had better history for you right now. I was reading something in the last few days that said that, and this comes out of the Hindu practice, Hindu part, that Tantra is the practice of the regular person. And it's all the practices that they would need to kind of grow and get along. And the yoga was the extraordinary man's practice. They didn't call it extraordinary woman in the book, I noticed. But so I was like suspect of the whole thing. But
it's a man's world.
That's right. So, but the tantras are actually books in India about the way to live your life. And most of it is the right-handed way, which is don't eat certain things. Don't do certain things. And the left-handed way, that would be the Red Tantra, eat meat, drink alcohol, be crazy, and use these sexual practices. But I don't have as much of a depth of history that I need to give you a lot of information about that. But believe me, there are lots and lots of wonderful books out there. And I do recommend Osho as someone to read. O-S-H-O. He has a lot of wisdom. I just absolutely love most of what he says. There are days I like to throw his book across the room because he makes me so mad. But oh, I don't have any judgment.
Very good.
I usually have been doing all my all love classes 2 weekends, 2 Saturdays a month, usually on the second and fourth Saturday. And those classes have just gotten deeper and sweeter and amazing. Now, it is not Tantra. We're not concentrating on anything sexual. We are dealing with the emotional body and the just waking up process. And the sexual stuff that comes up is, and it's all confidential in the classes, if someone has to go into pain about something that has happened to them regarding their sexuality. So that kind of stuff can come up.
In the class, is this
in the
a class filled of how many people?
I've had classes as small as 2 and as large as 16.
Okay.
So Patrick's classes are more like 20 to 30.
Okay.
So the more people that we have in the class, the stronger of an energy starts to happen. It seems to build. And that's one of the things they would say about Reiki, which I'm going to be starting to teach again. So if anyone's interested, you can contact me. I'm going to teach, you would get an Usui certificate, but I'm going to also teach some of the other healing energy work that I've been trained with over the years as well with it. So it's going to be a little wider than just the Usui tradition. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. Where was I? Do anybody remember?
You were talking about the classes, what's coming up.
Oh, right. So the All Love class will be February 9th and the 23rd. And then the Tantra class, Introduction to Tantra, is going to be on the 2nd of March. So I'd love to have some folks come and join me. And or if you go to my website, body-beloved.com, I have a calendar there, and that has all my upcoming classes. And I have a meetup called Body Beloved, A Tantric Journey. And that often I'll put all my classes on there, too. So it would be wonderful to meet some of you invisible people out there.
So where is the meetup more of an organizing tool, or do you actually have meetups like on the schedule?
Oh, no, they are definitely on the schedule. That all my classes are put on their schedule.
Oh,
there.
Oh, meetup. Okay.
Yes.
So if they join the meetup, they'll always know what's going on.
They will. Absolutely. Yep. It's a nice way to connect with a lot of folks and have some wonderful, deep experiences together. And sometimes a lot of laughter and fun. One of the things about, I've made the All Love class sound so, the first thing that has a tendency to happen is people start laughing hysterically. It's funny because you think that people only block their hard, negative feelings. People block their joy. They block their laughter. And the room can just be, it sounds like a comedy club in there sometimes.
You know what popped in my head when you said about they block the joy and the laughter? When I went to New York to see on stage The Color Purple, and just watching the actress who played as
Celie,
where she was ashamed of herself. She didn't like herself, and she thought her laugh was ugly. Her teeth were big, and you know.
Oh, yes, I remember that on the movie.
Yes.
Oh, that was
and
so beautiful.
That's interesting that you talk about becoming all one and how sexuality plays a part of that, because I believe that was how she came out through her experience.
With Suge Avery.
That's it. So
she gave return to out.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. Her journey began.
Awesome. Very
so,
nice.
So, you know, there you have it. I mean, that just popped in my head. Yeah. I am a person who, you know, when I'm listening to things, I try to bring it to reality in my experiences or to what my eyes have seen. And so that's what came to me. I'm like, that's amazing.
Neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference.
Excellent. Well, Sherry Teagle, we are so happy to have had you here on the Wellness Connection by Hale Wellness, and we look forward to seeing you in the near future.
That would be amazing. It has been a joy to be here with both of you.
The Wellness Connection podcast is brought to you by Hale Wellness, a social and interactive platform where we connect our community to local businesses, organizations, and individuals who have tools, services, and programs that nurture the mind, body, and spirit. Engage in awareness by taking our free wellness assessment and take first steps towards optimizing your wellness. Visit wellnessconnection.health.